Now let me take you back to 2,000 years ago in Israel, the night before Jesus was crucified. By then, he just finished eating his last meal with his disciples, including Judas, the one who betrayed his master. So Judas went out, of course, to bring the soldiers to arrest Jesus. So with his 11 disciples, Jesus began talking about where he was going to God in heaven and what was going to happen to the disciples. In the course of his conversation, he promised his disciples that he would send them the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Helper, the Comforter, and Advocate. So right after that, in the morning, he was crucified, and 3 days later, he was resurrected. And after he was risen from the dead, the scripture says he stayed with his disciples for 40 days. That's the season of Easter, 40 days. And after the risen Christ was, staying with them, and the day that he was ascending into heaven in front of his disciples, he commanded them one thing, not to leave Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. Indeed, 10 days later, the Holy Spirit, like a tongue of fire, descended upon the 120 praying disciples and filled them with dunamis, the power of God. And that event is called Pentecost. The Pentecost is the 50th day after the Passover, and it is the day that the church was born. And since then, for the next 2,000 years, the Holy Spirit has stayed with the believers and still dwells in every child of God, providing timely help. The Holy Spirit also fills them with dunamis, the power of God. Now, if you remember, 2 Sundays ago, I spoke to you what dunamis is all about. Dunamis is the Greek word. However, it means, in the scripture, is God's power, and it came down on the believers through the Holy Spirit, as I say, on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. It is God's will, I said at the time, for the contemporary Christians to experience the same dunamis, God's power, and God makes it available to us through the Holy Spirit today. And at the time, I also promised that I will, just finish the second part of the sermon, and that's what I am going to do this morning. I'm going to talk about how we can receive the Holy Spirit and dunamis. Now, there are a couple of things that we must prepare ourselves with before we talk about how to receive the Holy Spirit. And first and foremost, we must acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit within us and among us. Let me repeat. We must acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit within us and among us. Within us means that literally in our body. And among us means that whenever we gather in the name of Jesus, 2 or 3, the Holy Spirit is with us. So how do we know, after all, whether the Holy Spirit is within us and among us? By the way, you cannot x-ray the Holy Spirit. You go through the x-ray machine and there we go, the Holy Spirit is in your head. Okay? So how do you know the Holy Spirit is within you? By trusting and believing God's word that says so. Listen to God's word, 1 Corinthians 6:19, which says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you?" Now we also must bring in the right attitude, that is to acknowledge the authority of the Holy Spirit over us. The Holy Spirit is not our servant. We are his servants. He is not a genie in a bottle either. He is the Spirit of God. Now, if you and I are only interested in dunamis and not in the Holy Spirit part, forget about receiving the power of God. Because you cannot separate the dunamis, the gift, from the Holy Spirit, the giver. No Holy Spirit, no dunamis. The Holy Spirit will not give you dunamis unless your heart is right with Him. The dunamis is only given to those who obey the Holy Spirit no matter what. That's what the scripture says. So when you and I meet these conditions, then we are ready to receive the Holy Spirit and dunamis. Now, in order to receive the Holy Spirit and receive all the other blessings promised, including dunamis, we need to be open up to the Holy Spirit. Now, this morning I'm going to share with you 7 practical steps to receive the Holy Spirit from this book. It is called The Holy Spirit in You, written by Derek Prince, wonderful man of God, and he's gone to be with the Lord by now. Anyway, you know, I'm going to use this book to describe and lay out 7 practical steps to receive the Holy Spirit. If you want to jot down, I'm going to just explain to you slowly. Number 1, repent. Number 2, be baptized. We're going to do it together. Repent and be baptized. I'm going to reread Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38. It says, when they heard this, meaning the crowd, this means Peter's message, and they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Well, let me pause here. I think it's every preacher's dream. After they proclaim the God's message to God's people, and they come to the preacher and saying, Pastor, what shall I do? Because they were deeply convicted in their hearts. That's what it means, pierced to the heart. So when Peter heard this, and he said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you are like me, you follow. Peter says, first thing you need to repent. The second thing is that you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And the third thing will happen to you is that you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Here are the first 2 conditions for us to meet before we anticipate to receive the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized. I'm sure most of you already understand what it means to repent. And isn't Louis, as I mentioned, that repent, what it means. And let me just make sure that everyone understands. Repent means a complete turnaround, 180 degrees, from our sins and rebellion, and submit ourselves to God without reservation. Now, let me give an illustration. I heard this illustration a long time ago. I cannot remember who told me, but it stuck in my mind, and since then I always go back to. What is the meaning of repentance is 180 degrees turnaround. Let's say you want to go to the New York City by train. Let's say you hop in the train, on the train like in Trenton, okay? And you waited about 30, 40 minutes and looked outside and looked at the sign. It says Philadelphia. And you realize that, oh, I'm on the wrong train. So what do? You get off the train and go across the other side and get on the right side train, right? Repentance is like that. A lot of us understand repentance is like we are feeling sorry and remorseful of what you've done or what you have not done. But that's only the half side of repentance. And the other side of repentance is that once you realize that you are doing wrong and you stop doing it and turn around and start going into the right direction. Same thing. So Peter says that repent means stop what you're doing if it is wrong and start going into the right direction. The second thing he says, be baptized in the name of Jesus. Okay, in those days, people were baptized too. by John the Baptist and whatnot. But not in the name of Jesus. But Peter says, if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, you got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Now, most of us were baptized, some of us were baptized when we were babies. How many of you were baptized when you were babies? See, about, you know, like almost half of us were baptized. And we don't remember how we were baptized and, you know, we don't even remember listening what's the meaning of baptism. So I'm going to explain to you the meaning of baptism here. You know, baptism involves two parts. It's a twofold thing. You know, just Louise mentioned that baptism, some of us sprinkling the water, but some of us go into the water. But the original baptism is like going into the river. It involves two parts, going down into the water and coming out of the water. So the first part of baptism is that when you go down into the water, completely immersed, that means that you are drowning to death. That's what it means. So what it means, the first part of the baptism is that you are dead to sin and to your old self-centered lifestyles. That's what it means. So when you come out of the water, you become alive as a new creation in Christ and alive to God and giving yourself to God as instrument of righteousness. So it involves two parts. When Peter says, be baptized, means that be dead to your sin and old self and come alive as a new creation in Christ. That's what it means. The third part that we need to do is that ask God. I said the first, repent, and second, be baptized, and third, ask God. You never receive the Holy Spirit if you do not ask for Him. Whoever wants to receive the Holy Spirit must ask God for the Holy Spirit. Now listen to Luke chapter 11, verse 9 through 13. This is what Jesus is saying to the crowd. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And who he seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he's asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? Have you noticed that those two things, snake and scorpions, like bad things? And Jesus continues in verse 13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? That's where the clue comes from. How much more will your Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? That's why, if you honor the Holy Spirit, you must ask God to give the Holy Spirit to you. So far I covered repent and be baptized, and third, ask God for the Holy Spirit. And there are next three more steps I'm going to say to you. Be thirsty and go to Jesus and drink. Once again, these three steps come from Jesus' word in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. I'm going to read it to you. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jewish festival, and Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being, in simple words in English, it's the guts, okay? From his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. The Holy Spirit, who receives that? Those who believe in Jesus, right? For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. It means that crucified and resurrected and ascended. That's the meaning of glorification. Now this passage, Jesus' word, is very clear about who will receive the Holy Spirit. First of all, those who are thirsty, who come to Jesus and drink. God never forces anyone, you and me, or anyone who does not feel thirsty for God's blessings, including the Holy Spirit. He never forces us. You know, think of yourself and myself too. Perhaps the reason why we do not receive the Holy Spirit and dunamis is because we don't feel the need of them, let alone being thirsty for them. If you remember Jesus' words, he says, you know, it is extremely difficult for the rich people to get into heaven. I don't think he was just joking at the time. Now think with me, let's say Gayun Cho, your pastor, is a millionaire, a billionaire. I like a billionaire. Okay? Why do I need God? Everything I need taken care of by money. Seriously, why do I need God? You know, as much as a material blessing is a blessing to us, but it could be a curse. I think that's what Jesus is saying. Are you thirsty for God and for the Holy Spirit? And those people who want to receive the Holy must be thirsty. You know, I was getting myself ready for this sermon of this past week, and in my prayer, I thought about myself, Lord, am I thirsty for the Holy Spirit? And I realized that not really. I've been a pastor for 25 years. I know all these odds, you know, just like left and right. All I know what to do as a pastor. Why do I need the Holy Spirit? And then I repented, folks. Lord, I really want to have back the thirst for the Holy Spirit. Then, if you're thirsty for the Holy Spirit and His dunamis, then you go to Jesus. That's the next step. Did you know that no human being but Jesus could baptize you with the Holy Spirit? If Pastor Choi comes to you and say, hey, Bob, come to me. I'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. You better kick me out of the church. Because no one could baptize you with the Holy Spirit but Jesus. Okay? And then the next step is to drink. What's the big deal is a drink? Okay? It's a drink means that decision is totally up to you. Well, you may say that, well, if God wants to do it, let Him do it. I'm ready. Well, the thing is that I see that attitude that it's passive. Whatever God, I'll just take it. No. God says, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink yourself. Drinking is actively receiving the Holy Spirit within you. Make up your mind to drink and receive the Holy Spirit. The next, last step is, so far I told you, repent, be baptized and ask God and be thirsty and go to Jesus and drink. Six steps. And one last step is yield. Yield your body and members of your body to God. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 6:19, once again. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? The second part is this. Romans 6:13. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. You know, the scripture is full of big words like unrighteousness and righteousness and so on. Let me put it very simple. Unrighteous means is that something is not pleasing to the Lord, irks God. That's what it is. Okay? So let's say I'm using my hand to steal something, and that's I'm offering my hand as instrument of unrighteousness. You see what I'm saying? And Paul says that do not go on, that means that stop presenting your members of your body, either eyes or ears, whatever. But rather, he continues, present your body, yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, remember the meaning of baptism, and your members as instruments of righteousness of God. So we are indeed commanded to offer our bodies as instruments for God's service. Let me recap. Seven conditions for receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Number one, repent. Number two, be baptized. Number three, ask God. Number four, be thirsty. Number five, come to Jesus. He's the baptizer. Number six, drink. Receive within yourself. And number seven, yield your body as a temple for the Holy Spirit and your members as instruments of righteousness. Now, you may think you're overwhelmed. Pastor Choi, there are too many things to remember. I agree. I understand. So, however, you can begin with a very simple prayer. Now, at this moment, I'm going to invite those folks who are thirsty for the Holy Spirit and ready to receive the Holy Spirit to stand on your feet, if you desire. Okay, because I'm going to lead you in prayer that is taken from the book of this Derek Prince as well. Because I invite you, anyone who would like to receive the Holy Spirit and thirsty for the Holy Spirit, and say the prayer after me. Anyone would like to? So say after me, I'll go slow, if you'd like to receive the Holy Spirit and dunamis in your life. Lord Jesus, I am thirsty for the fullness of your Holy Spirit. I present my body to you as a temple, and my members as instruments of righteousness, especially my tongue, the member I cannot tame. Fill me, I pray, and let your Holy Spirit flow through my lips in rivers of praise and worship. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I'm going to just say the last words for my sermon. Receive the Holy Spirit, folks. It's not an option. It is God's will and it's God's command and it's God's promise for you and me. When you and I receive the Holy Spirit, what will happen is that we will experience the dunamis, God's power, and we'll start walking with the Holy Spirit, and you and I will lead a victorious life day in, day out. And also when we do, one thing happens to our church. Church will grow in God's power, not in every human schemes, but in God's power. As the Acts 19 says, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, most of us treat the Holy Spirit as a mysterious being, somewhere out there, God's Spirit, but that's it. We don't know how to walk alongside with the Holy Spirit. And it's about time that we receive the Holy Spirit. So Lord, we prayed and we just continue asking this prayer for you to come into our beings as well as in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.